Thank you, worship team. You may be seated. Actually, I made a mistake, but that's okay. We'll come back to that in just a minute. So if you've noticed, the children have invaded our worship center. And that is something in a lot of churches that doesn't happen, but here it does because we love our children. But we also give our children an opportunity to teach us sometimes. And that's what's going to happen this morning. They're going to teach us. And I love the name of the company that we get the skit from. It's called Little Big Idea. And they may be little, but they're going to present some big ideas to us this morning. So before we do that, why don't we just stand up and greet one another? Because I shouldn't have had you sit down. I'm so sorry. Okay, y'all are having way too much fun. We need to leave time for the children this morning. So now you can find your seats, and if you would be seated. So what's happening this morning is we're going to do, this is Skit Week, and this is a vision that God gave to Chris Pakalak. Why don't you stand up, Chris, real quick? She is our children's director. And she puts together a team. She directs our children, but she doesn't do it herself. She has put together a group of leaders that walk beside her and help her do this. And she'll talk about them later. But she puts this together, and the kids learned this in 1 week. On Monday night, they had no idea other than they had parts, but they didn't know what it was going to look like. And today, they're going to put it all together. So I want to do a little short explanation. So I've got a couple of kids that are going to come out with me. See if I can find them. I know they're out there somewhere. Here we go. Now, like I talk about it, it says little big idea. So we have, yes, we can go with little, but I'm not so sure right here because she's about as tall as I am. But these are characters that you're going to get to know this morning. And they are our virtual reality players. Now, for some of you, you have no idea what that means. And there's a great part in the skit where they point that out to you that you don't know what it means. So I'm just going to give you a short introduction. Virtual reality is where you wear the goggles. You can't see anything but what's in the goggles, and you react to it. Now, kids are great with this, and they do a really good job with it. But for adults, I want to show you what it looks like for us. So if you want to go ahead and play this clip.
Hey, I'm going to push you right there into it. There you go. Okay, when you hike the ball, you gotta hold the back trigger down.
So that's what it looks like for us adults. We have no idea where the but these are our virtual reality players, and they're gonna go into Babylon, and they are going to win that they're gonna learn this game and figure it out. So you guys can go ahead and head on back and get into your positions. And hold on to your seats because this is amazing.
here, so we better get started.
Hey, hey.
What is it? What do you see?
Shh. Who are they?
Shh. They must be Babylonians.
You think they see us? Are you kidding? They're staring right at us.
Shh. If they're supposed to be people, they're not very realistic.
They're probably a glitch in the software. I ironed it out in the first update. Come on, you guys. We need to get on with the game.
You lost already.
Don't scare us like that.
My name's Opti. It means servant of God. I was born here in Babylon, and an honor to serve you all.
More like you were born in Silicon Valley, pal. You're not real. You're just part of the game.
I promised my mom I'd get my homework done before dinner. Can we just find the treasure?
Ah, I can help you unlock the mystery of treasure of Babylon.
You can? That would be awesome. Where is it?
If I told you, this wouldn't be much of a game. It's a riddle, and you have to solve it. You don't have to solve it in any particular order, but you must solve all the riddles to complete it.
That riddle, yeah, it didn't make much sense to us. The lions, the switch, and the warm robes. Who is on the throne?
That's it. Those three clues will lead you to the answer, and then you will have completed the first level in Treasure of Babylon.
Let's just not get too excited. This is just a game in virtual reality.
Just a game, Jay.
Hey, how'd you know my name?
I know much more than your name. But tell me more about your virtual reality.
Are you, like, 30? How do you not know about virtual reality?
Virtual reality is something that looks real, but isn't. Like you. You're not real. You're just pixels in our VR headset.
Really?
We put this together online. It's fun. It's kind of hanging out for us.
And you're not.
We're real. You're not.
So you say I'm in a virtual reality with you, but I'm not real. You are?
Yes!
Well, I hope you know about this.
Southern. am late.
Uh-oh.
The force has been disturbed.
Earth to Harry, you missed Babylon by about 2,600 years.
What?
Harry, we're playing Treasure of Babylon. What game did you download?
You have delayed the inevitable. I shall return.
It looks like you are already cured, Victor. Babylon awaits.
Where did Augie go? Hey, wait. We don't have a map.
How are we supposed to solve the riddle or find the treasure without a map?
Are you looking to purchase a map? I have maps, lamps, rugs. Take a look around. I'm sure I'll find something.
Do you have any lions?
Lions?
Or switches?
Or more rugs?
I'm afraid we don't have any game cards yet. We just started playing. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, my name's Ahuni. I run the oldest store in this market. And who are you? I'm Daisy. This is Emmett, Poppy, and Jay. Nice to meet you all. Listen, when you do have some currency to spend, come see me. These other market vendors, they take advantage of first-time gamers.
And you have Kinetic Condenser. Make sure to pick up every language. This is for your commander to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all other kinds of music, you must bow down to the image of gold King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Those who don't shall be thrown into the fiery furnace.
Ahuni, who are those men and why are they all tied up?
These men are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are tied up because the king's command you just heard. They are Hebrews, worshippers of Jehovah, the one true God. And they refuse to worship the king as God.
Listen, Prince. The God we serve is able to deliver us from it. It will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not worship any of your gods. We'll worship the image of gold you have set up.
Hey, that's no problem. In any game, if you die, you just get another life.
Ah, but this is not just a game, remember? This is virtual reality. This is real. The virtual part is that you are here to see it.
Thank you.
trusted his servants. They trusted in him and were willing to defy the king's command rather than praise or worship any god rather than their own god.
Yeah.
sorry, I have not.
We still have a little trouble with the map you sold us. Can you read it?
I'm afraid I cannot.
Well, do you have something that could help us with that?
I do have this book, written in your language. It'll help you learn Aramaic in 3 easy steps.
Yes!
In 30 days. Right. It says it even comes with helpful cassette tapes.
Cassette tapes? What even are those?
I don't know, but I'm sure they're older than Babylon.
30 days? I only have a few minutes before I'm supposed to have my homework finished.
Tell me how you're doing on your riddle, and I'll see how I can help.
You solved the board ropes and the switch.
So now all we have left are the lines.
Oh, this could come in handy.
Whoa, seriously, a whip? Finally, a little danger.
Thanks, Zahini.
You're very welcome, my friends.
What are we supposed to do with this?
Fight the lions, I guess.
Careful, my friend, that could be dangerous.
But that's what I'm hoping.
Hey, Abdi.
Abdi, I think we're stuck again.
If you can help.
Wait a second. I think I've got this. Duh, the lions.
Lith.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fiery furnace. That story's from the book of Daniel. So is the writing on the wall. If we're talking about lions, it has to be Daniel in the lion's den. Hang on, guys. I'll be right back.
Wait, what?
You can't just run off when it gets a little dangerous.
Look, my friends, and listen.
Anyone who prays to another god for 30 days, except to our loyal majesty, King Darius, shall be thrown into the lion's den. This decree has been put in writing, so it cannot be altered. By the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.
Hold it. Is that Daniel? But he looks way older.
Some very wise person once told me that in virtual reality, you can go from one time period to another. This is now many years later. Daniel's over 90 years old.
What's happening to him?
He's been found guilty according to the decree of King Darius. He will be thrown into the lion's den.
Oh, no! What? What can we do?
Will this help?
At this point, only the one true God can save Daniel and shut the mouths of the lions.
Down, down, down.
show fear in reverence to the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves, performing signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Downloaded a glitch. I was switching games left and right.
We know!
Crazy. I don't know what happened.
Harry, we solved the riddle, collected all the currency, and are about to level up.
As soon as you tell me who is on the throne.
Well, there were three kings. King Nebuchadnezzar,
King Belshazzar, and King Darius. We did it!
But the riddle says, who is on the throne?
Which one would it be?
Guys, I've got it. Where'd you go, Daisy? We had to solve the last clue without you. The lions. They're from the story of Daniel and the lion's den.
I know. It's on here.
How did you get a Bible in Treasure of Babylon?
Duh. I downloaded an app to my computer and just dragged it into my character's backpack. It looks like a book in the game. Virtual reality.
So what's that gonna do?
Oh, hey, Harry. You look right.
Thanks. Took a while.
This is going to help us solve the riddle.
Can you tell us who is on the throne?
I'll give you a hint. It's what King Darius just said while you were out of the game. Read Daniel 6:26.
Here it is. People must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. God was on the throne, is on the throne.
Congratulations! Wait, I don't think I get it.
What?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. God sent his angel and rescued those guys. In the story, in the writing on the wall, God was faithful to Daniel and his people as he got rid of an evil king and replaced him with someone of a softer heart. In Daniel in the lion's den, he saved Daniel from the hungry lions. God was always on the throne, always in control.
Well done, Daisy!
And God, the mighty deliverer, was faithful to save when he sent Jesus, the true redeemer, to rescue us from the penalty for our sins. This is Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you.
gossip, and so-called friends who don't act like friends.
And the pressure about my grades.
Yeah, reality is not so great sometimes.
But remember the treasure you received. The same God that was there to save Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is always there to save you. You can trust God just like they trusted God because you know who is on the throne. Auntie, what if you gave them a little glimpse into the future?
May I borrow your Bible, Daisy?
Sure. There's another worshiper of the one true God who got a glimpse into the future. I don't think it involved a VR headset, though. But somehow, God allowed the Apostle John to see the new heavens and the new earth, the eternal future and ultimate reality.
This is from Revelation 21. John saw the resurrected Jesus on the throne, saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
Well, I can't wait to get to that level.
I guess the next level of this journey has to wait until tomorrow night after school. I have to get my homework done.
Well, will you go to the next level with us, Sabdi?
Unfortunately, my instructions were to guide you through this level. But hey, maybe there's a glitch I can use so we can see each other again.
Better be careful with that.
I will, Harry. Thanks for the warning. Goodbye, friends.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Guess you two all go. See you tomorrow night for the next level?
Yes!
You bet!
Goodness. They are phenomenal. Great job, parents. Thank you for sending them here day after day this whole entire week so that they could put this amazing thing together. I'm Chris Pakalak. I'm the director of children's ministry, but I had absolutely nothing to do with any of this, except for I know who to pick to lead it. I want to take this moment to say thank you to Christy Shellick and her amazing daughter, Haley. So if you guys would come on up. Christy directed them, put them in their spots, helped them learn their lines. Haley taught them the music so they could sing. Didn't they just sing every word so amazing? And they just knew it. I also don't want to forget Zoe and Hannah. If you guys can stand up and wave. They taught those solo dances to those kids. And they literally just learned those a few days ago. So they did amazing. We are just so incredibly proud but honored to serve with each and every one of these kids and to watch them grow. It is incredible to see the confidence they have to share God's word, whether it's through music or a word or however they display it. And we are just so thankful. So thank you for investing in children's ministry. Thank you for caring for us. And I'm going to stop because I can't stop crying. So we're great. Thank you. All right, so right now, kids, you guys are going to go out that door, back to our room. And if there are any other children here, Miss Cindy and my amazing nursery staff, they have a lesson for them over the fellowship hall. So if there are any other children that want to join us, we're going to meet out in the back room.
We love children, and we love the way they announce things just out loud to all of us. Now, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do after that, because weren't they amazing? Let's give them another hand. So we have just been, our children took us on this incredible journey through three amazing stories. And what it shows us is that our God is powerful, present, and full of grace. And that's so important. The lion, the switch, and the warm robe has such a deep meaning that these children, like I say, it's just a little big idea. It's so big what they're trying to talk us through. So let's just walk through the story and just the meaning that it means to us today. The warm robes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to give you a little clue. That is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it's not because of just the story. It's because of what they say at the point of peril. When they're looking at certain death, it's how they stood up. And they're being told to bow down to this giant sculpture of this king. And they go, we will not do it. The peer pressure, the things that we face today. We are to bow down to the world. We are to allow the world to infiltrate everything that we do. We're supposed to tweak our morals because that's what the world is telling us we have to do. But what I love is the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they say, you must do what the world says to do. And I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they're looking at the man that is sentencing them to death. And he's asked them, who's going to save you? Who is going to take care of you? You bow down to me, or I will put you to death. Give me an answer to that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Do you think they're trying to gain favor with him? No, they're sitting there telling him, we don't care what you say. You are asking us to do something that is impossible for us to do. To bow down to someone other than the true and living God. And then it goes on to say, if this be so, our God whom in this matter, this God whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had no doubt, they had no question, they had no qualm with the fact that God can save us. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But this is my favorite part. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up. So what they're saying is, I know my God can save us out of this furnace. I have no question about that. But I don't get to decide that. God does. God gets to decide that. And if he says, I'm not going to save you from that fiery furnace, that's okay. Because we're going to show you that we will not change our morals. We will not bow down. We will not answer you in this matter. We won't even consider it. And if our God saves us, that's great. And if he doesn't, then it's fine. But then comes the fourth man in the fire. And that's the man that walks with us when we're going through those trials in our lives. And walks through us and helps us through those difficult times when we're facing the fiery furnace. And he takes care of us and no harm comes to us. The second part, the switch. And I sort of struggled with where does this fit into this whole story? We're talking about deliverance from just peril, from imminent death, and then all of a sudden we got the switch. Well, it's a little bit different. Because see, what's happening is this is a warning. We saw King Belshazzar. He's throwing a party is what's happening. And they're drinking the wine and they're partaking of the food. And he is corrupt and he is immoral. And he calls and he says, bring all the stuff, the goblets, all of the plates, the everything from the temple. The stuff that is holy, that is to be used for God. And we're going to have a party with it. And we're going to drink our wine out of it. And we're going to put our grapes on it. And we're going to put our cheese tray on it. Because we don't care about God. We're going to do what we want to do. And then God wrote this on the wall. We're going to get much, much deeper into this a little bit later. But he wants to know what that means. And I love the way it looks where we have the person up here shaking. Well, the person up here is shaking because the Bible says that's what King Belshazzar was doing when that hand wrote on that wall. He was shaking as if his joints had come out of place. And he says, if someone can read that writing on the wall and interpret it to me, I will make him the third ranking ruler in this country. And I love Daniel, how Daniel responds to this. Once again, Daniel has met this king before. He's met his father. And when he met his father, he was interpreting a dream for his father. And the results were, if you can't interpret it, I will tear you limb to limb if you fail me in this. And so Daniel, looking at him, knowing from his father the experience of what happens if you don't do it right, and he's been given this great honor if you can become the third highest ranking person in this country. And he says, and then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. But nevertheless, I will read the writing on the wall and make known to him the interpretation. I don't care about your stuff. I am so incensed at what you've done. Because I think Daniel knew exactly what the interpretation was already. And he's like, I don't care what you can offer me. I want you to hear what the living God has to say. And what God told him is you, King Belshazzar, have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Your kingdom is about to fall. He's been weighed. His days have been numbered. And I don't want that to go too lightly on you, because what's happening here is a judgment for what he did. But there's other places in the Bible, Job, where you look at Job 14:5. Since his days are determined and the number of his month is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. That is something that is true for all of us. Psalms 139:16, your eyes saw me unformed substance. When I was nothing, God saw me. And in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me before we were even born, when as yet there was none of them. The judgment's coming, and what God is telling him is, as King Belshazzar, your days are numbered. And we're at the end of those days. And I have weighed, and you came up lacking. And he chose not to change. He chose to just ignore it. He accepted and honored Daniel for this. But see, he didn't flip the switch. He didn't make the choice. He didn't hear the today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And that's what King Belshazzar did. He had hardened his heart. And that very night, he died. And a new ruler came in, and there was a switch. And he lost the opportunity to make a difference in his life. The lion, Daniel in the lion's den. Another amazing story of Daniel being placed in a situation where imminent death is on its way. And sort of the theme that runs through some of these are these kings at some point were good kings. And they honored these people that were taken from another country and brought in. And they honored them because they knew they were blessed by God. They knew they were honored by God. And God gave them advice and gave them things that, to interpret for the kings, to help them. And in each of these cases, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in the lion's den, the king is tricked. He's tricked into allowing the situation because everyone else was jealous. Jealous of Daniel. We're jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we know the one thing that they won't do. And if we can just capture them and get the king to agree with us without saying their names, then we get them. And so they were not to pray to anyone except the king and to honor the king. And Daniel, it just says he waited. He just waited until he knew the decree was signed. I love what he does. He doesn't go cower in the corner. He doesn't go hide in his basement. He doesn't go out into the woods and make sure no one followed him. He goes to his house. He opens his windows, and he prays to the one true God. And, of course, they're waiting for him. Of course, they're standing right there, and they go report it to the king, and the king's heart is broken. And you can see this. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. This king had been tricked. And even though he had gone the wrong way and had been tricked and allowed his people to say, "People need to worship you, not the living God. You're so powerful." They played to his ego. They played to the thing that we all just give into is our ego and getting patted on the back. But even when he got tricked and he knew, he said, "May God deliver you." And the next morning, the fact that he still had hope. Then at the break of day, the king arose and as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. God didn't deliver Daniel from the lion's den. God didn't deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He delivered them in the thing that was the biggest peril of their lives. He delivered them from the things that should have brought them death. When you look at those things and you look at the way that these people stand and that they can proclaim the faith, and they didn't back down. They allowed God to deliver them, which is the one thing that King Belshazzar did not do. He was warned. He saw the writing on the wall. See, the switch reminds us that we don't drift toward God by accident. It's a choice that we make, and we have to choose him. It makes a shift from pride. What caused these kings to write these decrees? Pride. That they would get the glory, that they would be honored, that they would be treated as a god. And Belshazzar's downfall was rooted in pride. He dishonored God by using sacred temple items at his party. Daniel interpreted the warning, but Belshazzar did not listen. You see, the switch is the warning, and my call to you is will we stay in pride like Belshazzar, or humble ourselves and seek God like Daniel did? And it ties the other two themes. The lion shows up in our trials. The robes represents God's grace and restoration. But the switch, it's the bridge between the two. It's the response that we must make. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us by faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Are we hanging on to our faith? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We're just looking at a moment where our children have presented the gospel to us. The simple message of the gospel. And it tells us that at some point God's going to ask us a question. And we got to decide whether or not we're going to make that switch. But our children also showed us that there are those that made the switch, that were so determined that they were going to follow their Lord God, that they allowed themselves to be put into situations where they said, I don't care if I die, because I'm dying for my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm dying for the God that I serve. And if that's what he wants, I'm ready. But I know that he is able. So I'm going to ask a question this morning. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I just can't miss this opportunity when our children have just presented such a clear message of the gospel. Is there anyone in this room that needs to make that switch this morning? If you are, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come down. I'm not going to make you stand up. I just want you to raise your hand while no one else is looking so I can pray for you. And that's all I wanted to do is just raise your hand so that I can pray for you as you make that switch. And it's just as simple as just saying a prayer like this. If this is what you want to do, to make the switch to turn toward God, you can use these words. You can use your own. But dear Heavenly Father, forgive me. Forgive me for my pride, for my selfishness, for turning my back on you so I could gain the glory myself. I can gain the accolades. But Father, right now I make the decision to turn towards you, to face you, and to reconcile with you. So that no matter what situation I'm ever put into in my life, I will choose you first. Pray this in your holy name.